Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, minister, deputy ministers in our midst. And good morning to the department. It is the time of the year where we celebrate Women's Month. Not just women, but women of vision. Not just vision, but the vision of uniting women, fighting gender-based violence and femicide together, fighting COVID-19 together. Honorable members, women of 1956 successfully achieved their plan. Let's wait and see the strength and willingness of women of 2020. In Isaiah 66 verse 9, the Bible says, I will not cause pain without allowing something new to be born, says the Lord. For a child to be born, a woman needs to conceive. During the course of the 9 months, the only thing that a pregnant woman knows is that one day she's going to deliver or to give birth to a child. But the secret behind that child, it's beyond women's imagination or thinking, even women's wishes. All criminals, all serial killers, the rapist, the priest, the doctors, president, you may name them, they are born of women. Meaning that as women, we must take our stand. It is our duty as women of this country to fight for our space, to fight for this gender-based violence and femicide. Honorable members and everyone else here, I think today's briefing is going to assist us. The briefing is going to assist us in order to understand the role and responsibilities of our caucus. It will assist this caucus to link our mandate and the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide. It will also help us to understand the 6 pillars centered around the National Strategic Plan. It's going also to assist this caucus to do oversight in all our departments and also in all government entities. Lastly, honorable members, on behalf of Multi-Party Women Caucus, I would like to pass my heartfelt condolences to all people who passed on this month. Be it on corona, gender-based violence and femicide, or any other sicknesses. May their departed souls rest in eternal peace and rise in glory. In Psalm 30, verse 5, it reads as follows. Weeping may endure during the night, but joy comes in the morning. As Multi-Party Women Caucus, I don't know the situation where you are or the situation that you are facing now. But let me assure you that thank you.
Okay, you are muted.
Honorable members, let's all participate in this meeting and make sure that we listen attentively in order to be able to ask or to engage after getting the briefing. Thank you very much, honorable members. Indlo clear hina. Ai yingiseleni swi ta hi pfuna. Our agenda is as follows. I've done the remarks. It will be followed by the apologies that I will ask the secretary to read the apologies that he received.
Chair.
Honorable members,
Chair.
We are going to take only the apologies that has been sent to the secretary of the caucus. Mandy, do we have any apologies?
Chair, before we proceed, Chair, may I request respectfully that the agenda be flighted?
Okay, thank you very much. Mandy?
Yes, Chair.
A little bit upper. Yes. The agenda is there. Do we all see the agenda?
Yes, Chair.
Okay, let's proceed. Mandy, do we have any apologies?
Yes, Chair, we have apologies from Ms. Mofokeng, Mr. Sulu, Ms. Malloy, Ms. Labaskagni, Ms. Fisser, Ms. Boshoff, Ms. Maslow, Ms. Sharif, Ms. Mkize, Ms. Lekhwase, and Ms. Trapa. Those are all the apologies, Chair.
How many in number?
12, Chair.
12.
Yes.
Honorable members, we have 12 apologies, but I do believe that the apologies is not going to hinder any progress according to this planned meeting. We correct, since I've checked the number of participants appearing there. We are proceeding, honorable members.
Chair, my hand is up.
Your hand is up.
Yes.
And who's that?
My name is Temi Majuti.
Oh, Chief Whip. Thank you very much, Chief Whip. Is there something that you want to bring to the attention of the caucus?
Yes, Chair. This is also the meeting. I'm not sure whether women's parliament. The reason why I'm asking is that yesterday when we had a chief forum, certain political parties were saying they have their own caucuses. They're not institutionalized. That there's a test that must be put aside for multi-parliament caucus. So I just want to check that's a roll call. How many other parties are of the women's caucus? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chief Whip. Mandy, hello?
Chair, I can hear you?
Yes, can you check for me members from other political parties? I've seen Mahlengwa for now. Can you check?
Yes, Chair.
IFP is there, and what other political parties attended this caucus?
I've only seen Chair, but the members from the EFF did confirm Members from the DA made apologies, submitted apologies.
Can I assist you, Chair? Can I request you call each party just to say if ANC is here, all the 14 parties would give. Except PAC cannot be here. They don't have a woman. But just to quickly check, call each party then to make indication if it is present. Because I want to take up this matter in our next multi-party Chiefs forum. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chief Whip. I don't know if the secretary can assist me in giving me the political parties because I may start on the way. ANC? It's obvious I've seen a number
present.
Of ANC members.
ANC present.
The chief, we are present, and then IFP?
Chief
present.
Yes, the Inkatha Freedom Party, all three members of female members of parliament are present, and I just wanted to confirm to the ANC Chief Whip that in fact our Chief Whip prioritized Women's Caucus. So we don't have a normal caucus today because there's Women's Caucus, so it means the IFP has prioritized this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much,
IFP.
Chief Whip, let me also support the statement. IFP always, they are there. Even if when we're invited by the department, not in our multi-party caucus, IFP always is represented. ESS? No one? The DA? The NFP?
NF Plus.
SS Plus? None? Assist me with other...
ACDP?
ACDP? ACDP is here.
ACDP is present?
Yes.
ACM?
AIM?
ACM?
None.
Not here?
No.
IEC not here.
And Al-Jamaa.
Al-Jamaa.
Not there. Not here.
Not here.
Cope not here.
Cope not here. Okay.
Good.
Good. Is it good in our meeting?
No, Chair.
No, thank you. Chief Whip, I think the ANC, the IFP, ACDP, it's here. The rest are not here.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Chairperson, can I also raise my observation in terms of the DA? The deputy chair of the multi-party women's caucus is a member from DA, but she hardly attends the broader multi-party women's caucus meeting. So I think it's something maybe the meeting should look into. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Whip. I think that matter really, it needs to be raised because ever since we were there, I think she attended one, if not two meetings. Thank you very much. Honorable members, can we proceed?
Chair. Hi, Chair.
Hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
I just want to make a follow-up on the question, the very same question of correcting. I want to know, what is it then that makes us to correct as a meeting? Are we correcting? Taking parties into consideration, or are we correcting a number of women that are in the meeting? Thank you, Chair.
I think honorable members will assist each other here. when we are in our steering committee, the issue of co-reading, we're talking about half plus one, the number of members of the steering committee. So when it comes to multi-party caucus, since it embraces every woman in parliament, representing all the parties, I think the honorable members and the chief whip can assist in this one. Thank you.
Comrade Honorable Borotto's hand is up.
Oh. Honorable Borotto.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to make a follow-up on the issue of apologies. The chief whip covered me. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Can we clarify the issue of co-reading as a caucus? Whether we're saying we're co-reading because all political parties are in, or we are talking about the number of participants as individuals? I don't know. Can we assist each other here?
Chair, it's the committee secretariat who must assist you.
Chair?
Mandy?
Chairperson, the joint rules of the of Parliament do not specify parties when it comes to meetings co-rating. The only thing it says is that there must be a minimum of 14 members present. 1/4 members present for Party Women's Caucus to continue with its meeting.
Thank you very much, Mandy.
Can we, Chairperson, if I also may, I think the rule is very clear. And we must also know that all parties are not carrying the same weight. So it should not be about that. It should be about the woman. So I think we've been for races over and over, it's just 14 members are needed in the committee.
Can you please, Honorable Member?
You want us to repeat?
Honorable Member,
can other members?
Can you please repeat?
Can you hear it? Okay. I think it's clear that it is a one body sector for a forum, and we are reporting according to the rules.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It means what I said previously or when we started was correct, that we are correcting. So we are proceeding with our meeting. Can Mandy please flag the agenda on the screen?
Yes, we will.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mandy. Now we'll be allowing the department to give us a briefing. Honorable Minister, I've seen you that you are there. I believe that you'll be the one that will give direction as to who is going to give us the briefing. You may give an input. And I don't know whether the deputy minister in the presidency is also there, but I've seen yourself. You can give us the direction. Thank you very much. Honorable Minister. Honorable,
she's muted.
I'm very sorry,
Honorable, you are muted. Can you?
Honorable Chair, chairperson of the Women's Caucus, the chief whip of the majority party, honorable members of parliament, good morning and happy Women's Month.
When we all meet and listen to the minister, please. Honorable members. Can we all mute our gadgets and listen to the minister? Over to you, minister.
Thank you very much once again, Chair. We wish to thank you for the opportunity to engage with the members of the Multi-Party Women's Caucus on this very important issue that we are dealing with today. Let me also take this opportunity to introduce to the caucus our new Director General, Advocate Nkateko Joyce Maluleke. She had come to join the horde of women professionals who are going to make women do their work the way they want to, appropriately in parliament, together with her colleagues from all other departments.
Who? Tabiso, when did you send me the email? I
Mandy,
you
are disturbing the minister. Mandy, you are disturbing the minister.
Thank you. Bye.
Mandy, you are disturbing the minister. I'm sorry, Minister Valdez. Can you please continue?
Yes. We are on the overview of the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide. Violence perpetrated by men against women and children is a stain on our national conscience. This pandemic continues to ravage our country and our communities and homes. As our country is responding to the pandemic of COVID-19, the pandemic of gender-based violence and femicide has once again raised its ugly head, or continues to rear its ugly head. This is unacceptable, as one death is one too many. Honorable Chairperson, as you are aware, earlier this year, on March 11th, 2020, Cabinet approved National Strategic Plan, NSP, on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide, and established and the establishment of the Gender Council for Gender-Based Violence and Femicide. Cabinet has also approved an establishment of Interministerial Committee, IMC, that I'm chairing, and directed it to move with speed with the finalization of the council. The IMC comprises of 6 departments, including social development, finance, SAPS, justice, and public service and administration. The IMC plays a key political role in the envisaged NSP and also in the General the Council. A technical testing is there, established already, to support the IMC and has been formed by senior officials that work with the said department. Despite challenges by COVID-19 and the lockdown, the IMC has held several meetings, and we are making progress on establishment of the National Strategic Plan. The presentation today will give an overview of the National Strategic Plan and the progress made to date in the implementation and institutionalization of the NSP. I must emphasize that at the center of the NSP is the willingness of us working together. The National Strategic Plan sets out to provide a cohesive strategic framework to guide the national response to the hyper-endemic gender-based violence crisis. The NSP vision is a South Africa free from gender-based violence and femicide directed at women, children, and LGBTQIA+ persons. To achieve this, South Africa will center its efforts on bringing about specific changes around the six pillars that will unpack in the presentation. Let me raise them one by one before we go into the explanatory notes. The six pillars of the NSP is accountability, number one, accountability, coordination, and leadership. Two, prevention and rebuilding social cohesion, stopping violence before it happens, and national drive towards shifting away from toxic masculinity, restoring human dignity, and rebuilding social fabric. Three, efficient and sensitive criminal justice. Four, adequate center and care for support and healing. Five, building women's economic power. Six, better information management to inform action. To achieve this vision, Africa will have to use its efforts to move forward with implementation of the NSP. The department has called on all government departments to integrate the NSP. All the honorable ministers and all honorable members present here, that we integrate the NSP targets into our and strategic plan as they reprioritize
Honorable Chair, can you help us? There are so many people that have not muted. There's a lot of noise. We can hardly hear. Can you call participants into order, please? We will not even know when we are hacked because there's a lot of noise here.
I don't know that when the multi-party is sitting every day, honorable members will choose to misbehave. Can we please do the right thing? We're not using this for the first time. All our meetings, we're using the Zoom or the Miss team. Can we assist each other? As we are all honorable members. Please, can we assist each other by muting all our gadgets and give honorable minister to give us the briefing? Please. I'm appealing to all of us. Please, let's mute our gadgets. Sorry, honorable minister. You may proceed.
I thank you very much once again, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. We are all to move forward with the implementation of the NSP. The department has called on all government departments to integrate this NSP target into their APPs and strategic plan as they reprioritize their budgets due to COVID-19. We are committed to ensuring that departments remain gender sensitive while implementing interventions in response to COVID-19. The Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, together with the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, have developed a monitoring and evaluation implementation plan. As of the 30th of June, we submit weekly progress report co-signed by government and civil society to the president. The National Council for Gender-Based Violence and Femicide is still in progress as to establish a statutory body. This is a process that cannot be done overnight. Although there is urgency to have the National Council fully operational now, we have to make sure that we do not run, but we move together as we want results that will make gender-based violence and femicide history. We are consulting with the state law advisors and relevant departments established. Honorable members, the success of the gender-based violence and femicide efforts will depend on respective stakeholders moving beyond differences, building meaningful relationships of trust, and finding ways to work together. We therefore appeal that as you, honorable members of Parliament, will hold all government departments accountable on how they have aligned to the National Strategic Plan and how they have resourced the implementation of this national strategic plan. On our part, we remain committed to ongoing briefing sessions to the multi-party
Women's Caucus for more guidance and strategic support. We know the struggle to end gender-based violence and femicide is a long one. We have a vision of a country that is in South Africa free from all forms of gender, of gendered violence. Together we can. Mpirote Haul. With your permission, Chair, I would also want to humbly remind the Women's Caucus that this is not the only thing we were supposed to be known about. To be fighting patriarchy, amen. Because we are part of the global coalition on generation equality, realizing generation equality for women's rights in our lifetime. The whole world expects us, as they did in Beijing, as they did in Mexico, and many other fora, that South Africa's hand will be there and South Africa will contribute properly. With your permission, I'll ask or invite the Director General to continue with the actual presentation that you want, the meat. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, for your input. Indeed, I will ask for the Director General to give the meat as you said it. Director General, you are warmly welcome. I heard that you are new from the box. We're expecting much from you, and I believe that we're going to get more of what we are expecting. Advocate Nikateko Joyce Maluleke, you're welcome. You can give us your briefing. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, Chief Whip. Good morning, all members of the multi-party. I'll just do brief remarks, and then Ms. Esther Maluleke will do the actual presentation. Minister has already said a lot. All I just want to say is that it is important that all members are aware that the NSP places the responsibility of eradicating, not reducing, but eradicating violence on all sectors of society. Also, it will help us to be able to define and facilitate those responsibilities, because sometimes you find us saying so-and-so is responsible for what and they expect you to be doing this. So all of us will know exactly what we have to do, both government and civil society. But also, it will also assist us to be able to audit the services and be able to identify the gaps and be able to plan for the next 5 years in terms of the services that need to be facilitated or established in order for us to be able to fight the crime. Also, it helps us to really integrate services, because this is what government has been saying for a long time, that we will integrate. However, integration has not been happening. Also, it will assist Parliament to be able to track progress, because now we have written exactly what each and every member of the society will be doing. And also, it assists us to be able to define certain terms. I think you are aware that not long ago, there were debates about the statistics, and others were saying, no, social development statistics are different from those of SAPS, and then SAPS were saying, no, those statistics are not correct, but it's because there are different sources for statistics. So the NSP process facilitates the process of defining the statistics that need to be collected and defining certain terms of a crime so that we can be able to have statistics that are complementary and that are talking to each other. Without wasting time, I will call Ms. Esther Maluleke to do the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DG. Ma Esther Maluleke, I don't know whether I can ask you, DG. Is the Maluleke thing or what? Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members of the Women's Multi-Party Caucus, honorable minister, and the DG. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to make the presentation. And good morning. I just before I do the presentation, I'm humbly requesting the minister made reference to me presenting the progress of the NSP. And if this is the case, the presentation that is before you is about the NSP which we presented before. I'm just seeking clarity. But if this is what I need to present, I'm ready to present. And if I need to present on the progress, then I'm ready as well to present on the progress, but it will be a different set of slides. So I'm just seeking clarity and direction because this is the NSP that is reflected here. It will not capture comprehensively the progress in terms of implementing the NSP.
Thank you. Honorable Minister, I thought you are presenting the NSP to the caucus today. Can you clarify this? Thank you.
Can you make the presentation, the Malulekas? You're taking too much of our time.
Okay. Thank you.
Hello. Do the NSP presentation and then the progress, you'll respond to that when they ask questions.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. The first slide, without any waste of time, talks to what I'm going to share with you, which is the background to the development of the strategy, the rationale for the NSP on gender-based violence, how just give a brief overview of situational analysis, problem statement, purpose, scope, and I'll zoom straight to, okay. I'm trying to shift the slides. Okay. Okay. The next slide, please. Next slide. No, the second one. Or third, rather. The third slide, yeah. Okay. This is the background, and many of honorable members in the room may be aware of this journey that we've traveled. And it basically started many years ago, but culminated in calls for a national cohesive and strategic approach to gender-based violence over the past decade, a review of national action plan that we took into account as DSD, by DSD, social mobilization and activism organized by shutdown and many, I must add, many other women's movements that marched on that day on the 1st of August and the presidential summit.
which was basically key. And this summit took place in 2018. And out of that summit, resulted in the declaration, and you can see the president signing it together with members of civil society who were representing the broader sector. This declaration consists of 19 articles that reflect the recommendations emerging from the presidential summit and address critical issues that need to be addressed to strengthen GBV. Article 3 and Article 4 specifically outline the task of developing a national strategic plan. So in a nutshell, this is basically the journey. It was the culmination of many, you know, years of hard work around issues of gender-based violence. But I think that particular presidential summit really took, you know, pushed us to take a particular trajectory in terms of responding to gender-based violence. So the approach that we took was really to do a proper baseline desktop analysis of, or if you like, the situational analysis. And at that point, I need to highlight that we were as a government in a process of reviewing what we used to call as the integrated national strategic plan on gender-based violence. You will recall that it was developed in 2013 and then 2015, and expired in 2018. And we're on board to actually revise it so that we can improve and strengthen it. And then the summit happened. So we had to take that process because it was a very rigorous process conducted and led by both us and DSD. And we had to take that on board because we were at a point when the summit happened of actually finalizing the draft report. So we took the work that was done extensively on board. We also added consultations, additional consultations across 9 provinces, interacted with women and our partners broadly, and women in their diversity. And we consulted both in rural and urban settings to actually hear their views in terms of what needs to be reflected in this strategy and which direction we need to take. So we also reviewed existing government frameworks because we've got a number of laws that are actually guiding us in how we should actually deal with issues of gender-based violence. And we had many teams within the interim steering committee working on a number of tasks and chapters to actually put it together. Next slide. So this slide I have already spoken to, and I'm not going to make, it just really captures, summarizes what I've just said. Safe to say, on the right-hand side, the green part shows that we've actually reviewed and tried at that time to start even the costing of the national strategy, but I'll come back to that. But most importantly, as we were busy putting together the strategy, we were hit by another crisis and we had to act urgently. And that's when we devised and designed the ERAP, which is the Emergency Response Action Plan, because we wanted to really act and respond with agility and urgency on the reports that we were getting from the ground of women who were killed at that time. Next slide. This is just really shows some of the consultations that we had across the country during the month of September and October last year. Still on the slide. And you will see that we're just highlighting some of the most critical issues that came out of those consultations. Still, extreme unhappiness with the criminal justice system.
women were saying, we want an effective criminal justice system, and we've said this for many years. We want safe transport, lighting, drugs to be dealt with, especially as issues of alcohol abuse. We want better policy. We want parenting interventions, you know, that are evidence-based. We want to address women's economic vulnerability. We want a localized strategy that will be driven on the ground by rapid response teams. You know, teams that when there's a case or somebody they know or is aware in a house, in a street, is abused, they'll be able to respond with agency and help to deal with that matter. Next slide. So the slide captures, and I think this has been articulated very well in many platforms by our president, to really continue to sensitize us that we are in a crisis. We're in a crisis, and we better act to respond accordingly. But I must also highlight in this slide that, yes, we are aware, we get reports on a daily basis, and I think the DG made reference to the issue of statistics earlier on in her opening remarks. But we still, honorable members, don't understand the magnitude of the problem. For one reason, we don't have what we call a prevalence study that tells us with certainty that this is how big the problem is. We know it because it's reported and we can see bodies, you know, of women whose lives have been taken. We know, we see children and women sexually abused or even physically or otherwise. But still, that doesn't tell us how big the problem is. But we need to also, when we think and deal with the strategy, and this is what it's really emphasizing, to look at our historical, the institutional violence in the country. We know we've come from a background of colonialism and apartheid, which was very extremely violent and institutionalized violence, actually. And we need to also deal with this problem in the context of the overall levels of crime and violence in the country. And the strategy basically urges us to have a whole society approach. Next slide. Basically, the purpose, and I'm not going to read the sentence, I'll just highlight the core in terms of some of the concepts that are captured. The strategy, again, requires that we work in a multi-sector, in a coherent strategic policy and programming framework. And we need to really strengthen a coordinated national response if we have to deal with this crisis. Because violence, it's everywhere in the country. Everywhere, literally, in the homes, in the street, in the communities, and we're not safe, basically. So unless every one of us takes the responsibility to deal with it, we're going to continue to find ourselves sitting with this problem for many years to come. But here's the picture. We really visualize a South Africa, particularly women and children, who are safe and feel safe, enjoy a happy and healthy lives, relationships, and have social connectedness, have access to humanizing sensitive services, are fully able to raise their right to autonomy and bodily integrity and equality. And these are the principles, just to highlight multisectoralness. We need to, you know, complement and augment existing frameworks. So we shouldn't move and pretend that you are starting from scratch. We've got clear base line information and work that has been done that can help us to move forward. We need meaningful and active participation. We need to be visionary, have, you know, think about being transformative and forward-looking, and continue to also emphasize human rights, because this is in the chapter 2 of our constitution.
And we need to have a survivor-centered, inclusive, and diversified and intersectional approach to actually dealing with the scale. Next slide. In terms of this purpose, I think I've made reference to that. Please move. I think it's a duplication. Thank you. In terms of scope, the strategy focuses on a comprehensively and strategically responding to gender-based violence and femicide. This specific focus on violence against all women, as I said earlier on, in their diversity, across age, physical location, disability, sexual orientation, sexual and gender identity, gender expression, nationality, and other diversities that may not necessarily have been captured yet. But this basically covers and that violence against children and how these serve to reinforce each other. So these things we need to work together on them. I propose that you pass this slide because I've made reference to the principles and just highlighted a few, but there's a whole list. Next slide. Perhaps I need to just, the other one, yeah, that, thank you. Here, I think in this slide, the slide on the principles, the second slide on the principles, sorry. I think here I need to emphasize the point and highlight in this slide in particular the issue of intergenerational youth-friendly approach, because we are a department of women, youth, and disabilities, and to highlight that this strategy really takes those issues on board, and indeed there's a lot of emphasis around working in both the youth and disability sectors, amongst many. Thank you. Let's move. I always say when I present the strategy that this slide, it's basically the summary of everything that is in that document. And this is our theory of change, the approach in the way that we want to address this gauge this time around, because we cannot continue to do the same thing and expect different results. And this is what this slide is about. It says at the center of the strategy, there should be responsiveness. In other words, this time around, we need to respond with agency and agility, be able to be flexible and go the direction again, it emphasizes at the center accountability, the issue of accountability, and across the board, whether it's in government or with our social partners, including civil society and business. All of us as a country, we need to be accountable. And it is based on six pillars that the minister has already alluded to. And I'm not going to repeat them here, except that I'll talk to them further in the following slides. But you will see that at the bottom part of this slide, there's also emphasis, and it's in the center, which is prevention. So what this tells us is that our approach must be localized. Rather, it must be preventative, in other words. That's where every resource, whether you're talking human or financial, should be thrown in this pillar, which is pillar two, which is prevention. And this will assist us, as we do, to localize this strategy, because we've been working from top bottom. Initiatives start at national, they go to province, etc. And our weakest link over the years has been really localizing, going where violence happens, which is in communities and homes. So for us to be able to do this, to prevent, it means we need to harness all response to crisis. We need to address the structural drivers of GBV. We need to stop violence before it happens. We need to provide victims
with care that is centered at them and focused at them, and ensure that they have access to quality services. We need to enhance strategic, institutional, and resourcing coherence, and we need to elevate accountability at all levels. You can see, even under this pillar, accountability is emphasized. Next slide, thank you. So I'm going to take you now through each pillar, but what you will see here, there are no details.
Look,
except to take you through quickly in terms of the outcomes of each pillar, what we are hoping to achieve. Pillar one, which is accountability, coordination, and leadership, expects us to have bold leadership to strengthen accountability across government and society that responds in a strategic manner and ensure that there are technical and financial resources. The other one, it really emphasizes multi-sectoral coordination and collaboration across different tiers of government and sections of society based on relationships of trust. Next slide, thank you. Again, in pillar two, which is the prevention that I've already spoken about, we're also hoping social, in other words, this slide just shows some of the things that needs to be done, like public spaces that we need to make safe and make violence-free, particularly for women and children. We need to strengthen programming, as I said, and ensure that whatever program and information we make are based on restoration of human dignity and build caring communities and society. We need increased cross-fertilization and integration of prevention interventions on violence against women, particularly when you think about the LGBTQIA persons, with broader GBV prevention and violence prevention interventions. We need to change, really deal with institutionalized patriarchy. And this really means taking patriarchy head on and change behavior and social norms within key groups as a result of the rollout of evidence-based prevention intervention. But we are able to deal with toxic masculinity and embrace positive alternative approaches for expressing these masculinities and sexual and gender identities. We also need to optimally harness violence against children programs that have impact on GBV eradication and strengthen delivery capacity through these evidence-based programs. Thank you. This is the vision that we have, which is the South Africa free from gender-based violence directed at women and children and LGBTIQ persons. Next slide. And to get to that vision, the strategy says we need change across all levels, whether it's at individual level, at community level, in the families, because gender-based violence happens behind closed doors. So we need to find ways, creative ways of being able to reach out and know what's happening behind those doors without interfering with people's private lives, relationships. We need to really focus attention as well in this strategy on children and society. Next slide. This is pillar three, which is justice, safety, and protection, and this is the one that really addresses the criminal justice system. And it emphasizes, as we've always been saying over the years, that all survivors, we need to make sure that they have access to efficient and sensitive criminal justice system that is quick, accessible, responsive, and gender inclusive. We need to strengthen the criminal justice system to address all impunity, effectively respond to femicide, and facilitate justice for all survivors. But also amend legislation because it is an enabler, so that we create an environment that we are able to actually respond effectively on this and build on legislative reform initiated under the Emergency Response Action Plan. Thank you. Next slide. In terms of response and care support, this pillar basically talks about the services, the kind of services that we need to provide to victims. I've already alluded to the issue of strengthening existing response care and support services. We need to tackle the issue as we provide these services, the issue of secondary victimization and eliminate through addressing individual systemic factors that drive it. For instance, the fact that police are still, and some of them, women walk into a police station and still report a case, they are further victimized. So these are the things that the strategy says we need to really address because it's secondary victimization. This makes the situation worse. It's not helping any one of us. Victims must be made to feel supported by and have necessary psychosocial and violence care services. We need to strengthen community and institutional responses and provide integrated care and support for survivors and families. And I think here we need to remember, and this is what the strategy says, and because it has taken all these issues into account, that gender-based violence is intricately linked with HIV and AIDS and issues around substance abuse, especially alcohol and drug dependence. And yeah, members will recall what happened in June after the introduction of lockdown level 3, when alcohol was made accessible to people. And we started seeing a lot of cases of femicide that were reported in June. So, and research over the years, and I must emphasize that you can't deal with violence against women and children without looking at issues of substance abuse and HIV/AIDS. Thank you. Next slide. This is the pillar, economic power pillar. And again, this pillar emphasizes that we need to deal with the triple oppressions of poverty, unemployment, by actually accelerating initiatives that address women's unequal economic and social position. And I think now, living with two pandemics of COVID and HIV/AIDS, clearly we're going to be very challenged in many fronts where particularly women, and we began to see reports coming in that says women are losing jobs in their numbers, at least those that were lucky to even have a job, because majority of them are either unemployed or are in informal, in the informal sector. So we need to really look at this pillar. It's one of our most critical ones because we believe that if we deal with issues of economic power for women, issues around safe workplaces, dealing with sexual harassment, issues of procurement, you know, and ensuring that women have access to some of these opportunities, we will not be able to tackle violence. We need to strengthen also already what is in the system that seems to be working for us, but have weaknesses, issues around child maintenance and related support systems to address the economic vulnerability of women. So we need also in this pillar the emphasis to bring on board a business, which has been the weakest link. In terms of research, all I need to emphasize with this pillar is that moving forward, this should be one of the game changers. We need to have evidence-based programs that we run. It means we need that prevalence study that I made reference to earlier on, because it will really give us the picture and the strategies prioritize that as one of the targets that needs to be met, so that we use the opportunity of what is happening on the ground, the information, to know where we should direct efforts in terms of dealing with the sketch. Next slide. In terms of implementation modalities, next slide, let's move. We know that the summit recommended very strongly, and Minister earlier on in her remarks made reference to the need to establish the multisectoral coordinating structure, which is popularly known as the National Center for Violence. Next slide. Next slide. And this is the proposed structure that was approved by Cabinet alongside the National Strategic Plan. Just quickly to say, this structure, as we were consulting across the country, it was clear to us in terms of the feedback that we received from many role players and our key stakeholders, that we need a flat structure that is lean, meaning we don't need a huge structure that is resource heavy, because we need to redirect these resources to programs so that where they're mostly needed. So there was a suggestion to have the council, which is on the slide what is referred to as the executive board, that is constituted by 13 members, that took on board the recommendation that was made at the summit, that this council must have 51 and representation from civil society and 49 representation from government. And it should also have a secretariat that will provide the necessary administrative and logistical support. And then the board, this council will then report to the interministerial committee and the presidency through the minister in the presidency responsible for women, youth, and persons with disabilities. And this will basically be the focal point of the strategy and where things are coordinated from. Then when you look at the bottom, you will see that we are the council, there's a proposal to replicate it similar to what the national structure looked like in terms of the 51-49% split of the provincial structures. But again, I need to make it clear that when this was proposed, there was emphasis that we should take on board the context of every province, because we are aware that already there are many structures that exist at provincial and local level that try to tackle this problem. And so they need to take all those issues on board in how they structure themselves at provincial and local government level. And I've already mentioned that at local also, there will have to be 51 and 49% split between government and civil society. But this council and all of us, they will obviously account to parliament through the department, as we do, to the multi-party, Women's Multi-Party Caucus and the Portfolio Committee on Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. Thank you. Can we move? In fact, I've already spoken, honorable members, on this slide and the next one. I've already alluded to, because it just gives us a breakdown of what is in that structure that I've spoken to. Now, coming to implementation, of the strategy, because once it was launched by the president on the 30th of April, it was handed over officially to the minister in the presidency, who also chairs the IMC, Interministerial Committee. Ever since we started implementing the strategy from April, there has been a lot of I just highlight a few, but I just want to mention that there's more to what you see here of work. The train has moved, and it's moved very fast in terms of implementation of the strategy. But just to say that we've been working very hard to ensure that indicators are actually refined, and we're working very closely with DPME on this. We've actually developed what we call the MNE action plan, which assists us to actually monitor and enforce accountability so far within government. We also need to bring to the attention of members that the NSP is not yet costed.
Honorable members, we are disturbing the presenter, please. Can we switch off our mics? Thank you very much. Continue, Sis Esther.
Thank you, Chairperson. I must say, around costing, this process started when we were putting together the NSP. Because as a Interim Steering Committee felt strongly that we need to produce a costed plan so that we are able to raise necessary resources for implementation based on the cost of the plan. But unfortunately, this process takes long. We were told by people that were assisting us that they basically need 18 months because they need to research. As you can see, the strategy covers, the scope is huge when you look at those different pillars. So they need, for them to be able to do a proper job, they need at least 18 months to do that, which will include researching. So it is not yet costed, and by the time we went to cabinet, we'd agreed that we will, the department will continue to do so, and this is what we are also working on. Costed APPs, and this will also assist. Once we cost the NSP, it will also make it easy for departments to actually cost APPs. But we're not waiting for us to be able to finalize the costing. We are urging departments, and we are working with them as I speak. We meet almost every week to actually ensure that indicators and targets of the NSP are integrated into the APPs so that they're able to be costed properly like any other program of departments. So that is mainstreaming for us. But as we work through this, and we're working through it and trying to push, then we were hit by COVID-19 pandemic, and departments were requested to reprioritize so that we can address effectively the COVID-19 pandemic. But we also took opportunity to remind departments that we have a coexistence of two pandemics, which is the COVID-19 and the GBV. So as they reprioritize for COVID, they need to also reprioritize to ensure. In fact, it gave us the opportunity to really now look closely, now that we have a strategy, to ensure that those targets are integrated into plan. But it's a long process. We've got 30 departments. As I say, we're giving them support with DPME. We're working with each one of them to provide what's called technical support to do this with them and show them how best to do this, because this is within our mandate as a department. That's the support that we need to provide. and it's work in progress. And ministers continue in the DG to write letters to remind departments to do this on a regular basis. And now we are at a point where we are even reporting departments to the president based on the template that I'm talking about, because we are trying to enforce accountability and to and provide leadership. So it's working in progress, and we are making progress. I can tell members, as of last week, at least we're having almost 50% of departments reporting consistently on a weekly basis. And we are continuing to assist those that are struggling, because some of them are still reporting on the IRAP rather than the NSP targets. So one of the big, big challenges that we are having is the issue of the administrative data that the DG has alluded to earlier on. But again, we are working very hard through the IMC technical task team to look at the whole issue of data. We will soon be having a workshop for the technical task to actually look at the systems that exist in the in government. For instance, the integrated justice system. We look at the data that is coming, for instance, from the also through the district health system that we get regularly from SSA, as well as the NPA, in terms of data that comes through to the health care center. So we're trying to begin to work and fast track, and I know that work has started in departments to integrate these things. But the most biggest challenge, as DG said, is the definitions, because we don't have definition of gender-based violence. So data is not collected consistently. Of if we talk about gender-based violence, that's exactly what I'm saying. So you will find that DSD collects data using definitions of legislation, current legislations that we have, like Domestic Violence Act, whereas police would probably use different definitions of these different types of violence. So I've already made a point around the prevalence data that we don't have. That is why we need to fast track it, because it will give us baseline and we'll be able to measure and know. You know, don't compare apples with bananas when we measure whether we're making progress in terms of fighting the scourge. We also, honorable members, have been engaging the department with critical strategic departments on this issue. As I said, we are working with DPME, but we've been having bilaterals, for instance, with COPCA. We're also trying to leverage on district development model, because really for us, a game changer in implementation of this strategy is going to be developing a and seamless M&E system that will tell us, and I must just give an example. If Minister is sitting in the office, we should get to a point where she sits in the office and look at the dashboard in the office and be able to know what is happening in Kanyagut, whether the stats, the cases in Kanyagut are going high or up, or whether we're improving. So this is the system that the department has now started working rigorously on. These issues that I've shared with you, that I said a lot has happened, which unfortunately are not in this presentation, are the things that we are doing to strengthen. And we started working on that system, and we are also looking at developing a proper M&E framework that we also talk to us about. We create issues of definition.
Okay. continue this way.
Okay. I'll continue. I'm almost done. All I'm saying is that right now, the biggest challenge and efforts that we are making as a department is to be able to effectively monitor the implementation of this is to have a proper MND system. And this is what we've started doing. Okay, next slide. And this is the last part one. In terms of way forward, I've alluded to the MNE system that we are working on the log frame at the moment. And we are doing this with the support of UNFPA that has provided us with a technical assistant. We are streamlining and facilitating streamlined outcome-based MNE reporting, and we are aligning this basically with the GDP MNE. And we started putting together clusters of teams based on different pillars. We are building capacity for departments around MNE, as I said, and we are starting to receive weekly reports. We have respective program managers in departments that should report to, in terms of NSP targets. That is the other thing that we've learned in this process as we are implementing ERAP and now the NSP. That often we put emphasis on gender focal points to actually give us information from the departments and institutes. And actually, the most critical people that are going to make this implementation of the strategy.
I'm in a meeting, please.
It's program managers. Program people in departments that are driving these programs. So, honorable members, the department is now meeting not only with TFPs, we're meeting with managers, for instance, financial officers. We're meeting with managers that are responsible for APPs. We are meeting with managers that are actually implementing other programs so that they are able to mainstream the NSP into programs. And I think that's where we begin to see the difference. Make reference to weekly reports.
Chairperson. Chairperson.
If you need help from us at any point.
Chairperson.
Hello.
Chair, is Member Mende here?
Yes.
Chair, we are struggling to hear the presenter because there are mics that are constantly speaking and they are on. Can you please order the host to mute all the mics? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable members.
Okay, I'm moving towards conclusion, Chair. Thank you. I was saying that already we've submitted almost 8 reports to the President that are signed by our Minister, but also quality assured by GPME. As I speak, we should be submitting our 9th one today. We also, in terms of recommendation that we made to the Interministerial Committee, that we noted the request by DPME to be made part of the IMC because they are currently not, so that they also can assist around issues of monitoring, accountability and reporting, and also assist us with issues around data and statistical challenges that we are currently facing. And we've engaged as well, let us say, around this matter. So they will be helping us with all these challenges that we are facing. And that's our effort to integrate, coordinate, and work seamlessly in the system to ensure that the NSP is implemented effectively. My last slide, Chair, next slide. I just want to sum up this presentation by saying that basically the strategy is telling us that we are in a crisis, but even if we are in this crisis, there are opportunities that we need to leverage on. And the department, as I said, has begun to explore those opportunities around district development plan that we are engaging with COCTA on, around reporting and localizing the strategy. And those conversations are going on and going on very well. This emphasis in the strategy on prevention rather than cure. And we believe that we can do this by embarking on a mass media campaign that we have already started doing. Probably you may have picked up in the media because we are working with our social partners to do this. That NSP, and I must clarify this, we are saying here it's not only a government document, it's a whole society. In other words, government has a very important role to play and a critical one for that matter. But the strategy says government alone cannot do it. We know and we recognize and appreciate that civil society also has a very important part to play. And business as well. And currently these teams that I've spoken about that are assisting us to roll out the strategy are constituted in that manner, and they're just volunteers that are really passionate and are working with us from business and from civil society. We also know that we have weak systems, data that is misaligned and non-compliant and needs re-engineering. This is talks to the statistics, but most importantly, honorable members, is the fact that the NSP continues to be an unfunded mandate, meaning we don't have the necessary sufficient resources to implement this plan, and that is what we are working hard to actually do, because we believe once we've costed it and National Treasury is clear on what this might possibly cost, there will be, find it probably easy for us to allocate resources. But without costing, it will remain a challenge. As I said, the strategy is to be owned by society so that all of us do what we need to do. And really put every little resource, whether human or financial or otherwise, into making it a reality. And working in a multisectoral approach manner is what we think will be a game changer in implementation of the strategy moving forward. And on that note, I need to thank you for the opportunity to present this to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Professor. Honorable members, I think we're all listening to the presentation. But let me also talk about the conduct that some of honorable members were doing. Honorable members, I'm so disappointed because some of us, to me, it's like they're doing it deliberately. It's like we cannot do anything without being reprimanded. We cannot talk of one thing for 2 hours just to ask honorable members to switch off their mics. It's uncalled for. I don't believe that each and every meeting of the multi-party caucus will talk about members who don't want to switch off their mics. I don't think so. Can we please be orderly? Can we please be responsible enough? Thank you very much. Thank you very much to the department, Honorable Minister, the DG, and Sis Esther for your presentation. It was a very long, detailed presentation. And now I believe is the time for discussion. For those who want to engage the presentation, or those who want to ask questions for them to be clarified, this is the right time to do so. I'll ask the secretary to help me if there are hands already that has been raised that wants to engage the presentation. Mandy, can you assist me if there are hands that wants to engage the presentation? Thank you.
Yes, Chair, it's Ms. Ngwenya, Ms. van der Merwe, Ms. Malaniso, Ms. Nuwa Drushten, Ms. Sukers,
can
Ms. Mente.
Mandy.
Yes, Chair.
Slow a little bit. I want to write all those names. Ms. Ngwenya.
Ms. Ngwenya. Ms. van der Merwe.
Yes.
Yes. Ms. Malaniso.
Okay.
Ms. Nuwa Drushten.
Okay.
Ms. Sukers. And Ms. Mente.
Okay. Thank you very much. Ms. Ngwenya. The time is yours to engage the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable Ngwenya.
Thank you, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thanks, Chairperson. And thank you to the presentation. Chairperson, thank you for recognizing me. I've got questions and a comment. Chairperson, my input to this meeting will be twofold. I will start by making a comment and conclude by asking some few questions, constructive questions. Without any further, I do let me take the opportunity to welcome the input of the minister and the presentation from the department. The timing of this meeting came at the right time, when we are still in the woman's month. Honorable Chairperson, while I was listening to the presentation, I got reminded by what O.R. Tambo once said about woman. When he said, woman should stop playing for them about the level of certain categories of involvement. Honorable Chairperson, the National Strategic Plan is centered around six pillars and all to what OR said. Honorable Chairperson, I would like to ask the following question. The implementation of the NCP on gender-based violence started from year 2020 to 2030. And beyond. I wanted to ask whether Department of Women, Youth and People with Disability have managed to ensure that all the government departments, including SOEs, have integrated the NSP on gender-based violence targeted into their annual performance plan and strategic plans. This will help us as members of parliament when we meet with this department to monitor them on whether they are implementing the NSP or not. My last question, Chairperson, whether the department intends to include the legislation to decriminalize sex workers. This will respond to pillar number 3 on your NSP and also to our resolution as the ruling party. I thank you, Chairperson. Malibongwe.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Can we go to the second speaker, Honorable Van der Merwe?
Yes, thank you very much, the chairperson of our meeting today, and thank you very much to the department. I would like to firstly ask a question around the fact that the NSP is not costed. And that for me is quite worrying considering the spending pressures of departments currently due to COVID-19. So I just wanted to get a reassurance that there is going to be funds available in the various departments to drive their commitments as per the National Strategic Plan, that we don't find later on that when we want them to honor their commitments that they tell us that there's no money considering what they've had to spend on COVID-19 and those interventions. On one of the slides, we talk about reporting of departments. And I think I heard that only 50% of departments are currently reporting to the minister and her department. And maybe if we can be told which are the departments that are not reporting or not giving their their commitments or their plans, because I think that's quite worrying. I think in the past we've had a lot of problems where departments are not coming on board, not reporting or not giving their support. And I think, you know, of course, if the NSP is to succeed, we need all departments on board. I would like to ask a question. Of course, before we had the NSP, we had the Emergency Response Action Plan, which President Ramaphosa spoke to in the National Assembly on the 18th of September. During that response action plan, he made a commitment that he would target, or we would have to target, to reduce gender-based violence-related forensic cases from 16,000 to 5,000 by 30 March 2020. Yesterday, Parliament was told in the Police Portfolio Committee that, in fact, these cases have gone up to 28,465. So, in fact, instead of reducing these cases, they've increased. And I just wanted to know whether the Minister has been able to engage the Minister of Police in terms of this shortcoming, because I think it's a very serious issue. I would also like to flag again, the issue of the underfunding of shelters. It has come to our attention in the media and yesterday also in the Social Development Portfolio Committee that there are cuts to subsidies for shelters in the various provinces, and many in the Eastern Cape have not received their funding yet. And I think, again, if we want the NSP to succeed, we need to have the basics in place. In other words, shelters must be able to receive their funding. And I would like to get the Minister's thoughts in this regard as well. And lastly, I heard the Deputy Minister of Social Development this week or last week flagging the link between cancer and gender-based violence. And if that is a government position, then surely the issue of cancer should be also highlighted in the NSP as a driver of gender-based violence. And maybe if I can just also get the Minister's thoughts on those comments. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Van der Merwe. Honorable Mananiso.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by firstly acknowledging the presentation. And one must say that indeed there's work been done and there's more to be done as well. I heard when the presenter was presenting, she emphasized mostly about integrated approach, and I'm happy that now the NSP indicates that there will be focal people in each department dealing with gender-based and issues and femicide. One thing that I've noted with regards to Pillar 1 on issues of accountability and leadership, we would need to be clear on issues of district models, that when this particular NSP comes down, who is responsible to account, be it political principal and as well those who are charged with authorities in the municipalities like your MM, because at times we fail to execute or implement in the local sphere based on the fact that we would get that terms of references, they are not clear in terms of who's supposed to be doing what. And I've noted that in the same presentation where it speaks about the organogram, there's an indication of interministerial team. And I would want to suggest that to the lower one of the municipality, we would need as well to include executive members of mayor's committee to be part, because of each and everyone would be able to monitor and evaluate their department response with regards to gender-based violence and femicide. And the other thing is with regards to the multimedia campaigns that we have just been told about. I would want to indicate that perhaps when we do this publicity and marketing, we would as well need to include positive stories, because at times when people speak about gender-based violence and femicide, every time we've seen trauma, we see shocking news, yet in the same societies, we've got better people who still believe that it takes them to prevent their communities and as well and the families. So it is important that when we get to be having this particular publicity, we get positive stories based on the fact that our emphasis is about preventing at all costs this particular pandemic. Lastly, I think Honorable van der Merwe actually covered me with regards to the issue of funding. However, I would want to indicate that perhaps the presentation is not properly highlighting the fact that this particular has been one of the commitments about that the president and his cabinet has committed to execute. So it will be important that as much as they are saying that funding is not yet allocated, they must not indicate that there's any unfunded mandate. They must indicate clearly to say that not costed now, but not saying that the mandate is not fun. I think they just need to rectify their thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mananisa. Honorable Velma Newhood Drunken.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentations and also to the ministers. I have a couple of questions, so just bear with me. The last slide shows, it says the NXP is not a document. So I understand what you're saying, I understand, but the slide should really say that the NXP is not only a government document, just to make that clear. So when we read it, that it doesn't only refer to government, but it refers to all stakeholders involved and responsible for the NSP, just to make it clear. Because when we read, we see that it's not a government document. It must say not only a government, but everybody must be involved.
Can you assist us, please? The noise is disturbing. We can't hear the question.
Okay. Right. So that's my first question. Then my second question, the council for the NSP. Will it include people with disabilities? Will a disabled person be included? And if there is no person with a disability there, it must be someone who understands what women and children with disabilities go through so that they can give the same feedback as well. Then I'm worried about when you say that the 18 months to research and look into the cost. 18 months is a very, very long time. Right now, gender-based violence is happening right now. And 18 months, women and children cannot wait for 18 months. So the emergency measures in place. What are those? So that we don't have to wait for 18 months. And also you're saying that there's no definition for gender-based violence. I mean, today I can't be told that there's no definition. Women abuse, women are being hanged, women are being stabbed, women are being shot, sexual violence. You can't tell me that there's no definition. So can you please explain that to me? Are we still looking for a definition, and how long is it going to take while the people on the ground are busy dying and they are in pain and they are suffering? So I can't accept that there's no definition for that. And then you're saying that, yes, the departments have a lot of work. There's 30 departments. But right now, what are the departments doing right now and currently? Plus, are you giving guidance on what those departments should be adding to their APPs? Or is it still in a discussion? Is it still in the consultation? They must add it to their APPs now, what they are doing. Are you giving guidance in terms of that? And then I see nowhere the Tuchuzela care centers. I see it nowhere. There's no mention in the NSP. And I want to know the Tuchuzela centers right now, do they have more capacity? Do they have more staff, or do they need more staff? Do they need more training? Do they need more capacity? The community must know that the TCCs exist and where they are and how they can access it. So that must be known by the community. And then the NSP is a high-level document. It's great. Yes, it's a high-level document. But the people on the ground, do they know what's in the NSP? How is it going to filter down to them so that they know? I mean, like you said at the beginning, the killing and the abuse is happening in the homes. Now, behind closed doors, where we cannot see. So how are we going to ensure that the community, in their homes, in their schools, the children are trained? How are we going to filter down to them? Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, are you here?
Yes.
Yes.
Honorable
Chairperson. Is that done for me?
Honorable members.
Thank you, Chair. Is it my chance?
Yes, it's your chance, please.
Okay. Firstly, I want to say thank you as well to the Minister for the presentation and to the DG on the presentation. And I concur that it is a societal. I think the sooner we, from a leadership perspective at Parliament, drive the message that GBV is a societal issue, and we do need to harness the power of all levels of our community to address it. I just want to highlight a few things that stood out for me. And one of the things that I want to emphasize as well is the lack of research to determine the scale of sexual and emotional abuse, specifically as it pertains to children. We have a huge issue, a huge problem. The problem is bigger than what we anticipate, and I have to agree with that. But in order for us to really address it, we need to, I don't know how we do that, whether it be through the department or the multi-party women caucus, drive really with institutions of higher learning around further research around the exploitation, sexual abuse of children. It is heartbreaking, Chair, to see what is happening in our communities. And I've had experience and touch points with various families within our communities that the stories itself shows you the scale. And when you look at the vulnerability, the fact that the homelessness of women, specifically single mothers with their children that are dependent on others, on the mercy of others, so to speak, for them to have security. We really need to do something about that. And one of the key things are there is one bill, the Special Needs Housing Bill, that has been with Parliament now since for almost 4 years, and it lies with Human Settlements. And I want to ask the minister to assist, really, to push this bill in order for secondary housing to be made available for women, specifically women that needs to find their feet again after they have suffered emotional or sexual abuse, or they have suffered gender-based violence with an intimate partner and there is economic dependency. We will have to do that. We need to champion that cause to get women protected. Then in terms of sexual abuse and emotional abuse, one of the reasons why this prevails and why there is such secrecy that prevails as well within communities is the lack of psychosocial support at a school level and the capacity of DSD at a community level to supervise vulnerable children. These are the things that perpetuate the exploitation of children and women. And because we have such a lack of capacity at a ground level. And as Parliament, specifically women parliamentarians, we will have to drive the legal frameworks that within the setting of Parliament to provide that kind of support, and at a committee level, hold the departments responsible that is responsible for that. Then I also want to just pose a question, really. How do we, as the Multi-Party Women Caucus, strengthen the relationship between activists and advocacy groups in Parliament? The reason there is such a rage, Chair, between a rage at a community level and especially within the activist community is because it seems there is a gulf between what we do in Parliament and what happens at the community level. And I think my colleague referred to it just now that spoke before me, that we have the plan, but how do, at a community level, how do we reach people with what are the actions and plans that government has put in place and that needs to be available to them? So I also want to just urge on that. Then the ACDP has previously, in my first and meeting here at the Women Caucus, referenced this. There is a link between pornography and the levels of violence that we are seeing perpetrated against women and children, and it has been proven by research. It is missing, however, in this plan that has now been presented to the Multi-Party Women Caucus. And I want to implore the minister to really investigate, and we will send you the research if necessary, to show that pornography and the explicit sexual imagery of women and children and the dark web plays a major role in the violence that we are seeing perpetrated against women and children. And for us to not even mention that or even look at it is a dereliction of our duty. We are failing to look at it because we are being progressive, but we are not helping the problem. So, Chair, I really want to, and lastly, I just want to add this: mental illness as a also as a one of the key reasons why we are seeing it, especially in poorer communities, is that we need to upscale that. I haven't seen that in the presentation, because prolonged trauma and mental illness on the psyche of our society is the very reason why we have these manifestations of high levels of violence that are seen here. And I would appreciate it if the minister can give us an indication as to how a department is working with the Ministry of Health to deal with and upscale the efforts of mental health being made available at a community level. Thank you, Chair.
Chair? Chair?
Yes.
Chair, Ms. Mutambi.
Okay, Mandy, what were you saying?
Chair, Ms. Mutambi and Ms. Mkalipi have raised their hands.
Mutambi and Ms. Mkalipi, I think,
yes.
We add two on top of the six that we were having. Honorable Mentes, then Honorable Mutambi will follow, and Honorable Mkalipi, I think it will be the last one. Thank you.
Yeah, and goes the chair. Chairperson, my first concern is, and a very worrisome factor, we are talking to a policy, or rather a document that seeks to make some position of on behalf of women, in particular the ones that are subjected to all these atrocities. But in the same vein, we in the opening of this document, I see the dates of I'm trying to get to the page of consultation. That is page 6 of this. And already consultations are flagging 15th of the 8th month to the 13th of September. I'm sitting here imagining who has access to these consultations besides the privileged. Because right now we don't have physical engagement. I would like to be taken through as to how did that process unfold. This point is linked to what Honorable Van der Merwe raised and Honorable Drushen. We are speaking on behalf of the people, but the people are not taken on board. We are going to talk about their issues, thorny issues, but they are not on board. So the matter of you can't do anything about us without us. Can that be explained as to how is it unfolding? How did they roll it out? How is it going to be made possible for everyone to be part of the national strategic plan in order to reach out to each and every person? That's number one. Number two, Chair. I don't know how we started a conversation. The minister will have to enlighten us. How did a conversation about women issue start without being funded? And then there is an issue of 18 months for the costing. And for me, it's very problematic because it then says it's a by-the-way issue. It can wait. 18 months, it can wait. No problem. We are not in a rush. It's not important. I'm not so sure how did that come about. Can we be enlightened? How did we start this? Because I want to assume that when the department was tabling its annual plan, this was part of the key performance areas of the department. So if then there were a key performance area under the annual plan, and it had been assigned to either director or DGG, how did it not get funded so that it can be dealt with speedily, it can be implemented in order to curb this problem we are having of women, GBV, women being undermined and everything else. Then number three, you are talking to pillars. And in these pillars, you are not mentioning there's no correlation between what is on the ground and what the women are facing, either economically, either emotionally, either physically, with the founding principle of the document. How is that this not linked? One, let's take GBV. The GBV that attacks one member already outlined it very clear. It happens in homes. There's no correlation on how we're going to look into that and curb it. Two, the GBV is not curbed when we get to the police station. What is the process thereof that this document is proposing in order for the police to follow when a woman has been raped, when a woman has been beaten, when a child who's been ill-treated approaches the police station? What is the process that we seek to have? Concrete and cogent approach. What is the process for a woman who goes to court to get a court order and still have to go and serve the court order herself, go look for the police, go find social development? There is no creativity in linking the system. We should have a strategy that talks to a linked system. If you are a woman, you are at court, you want to get a court order, there should be a linkage to the police. There should be a linkage to social development. Whether you require a shelter, there should be a system that tells them that we have a woman at court who needs a shelter. A response should come to you there. A police should attend to you from there in order for you not to be exposed to more violence and even delay until where you take a decision that let me just withdraw and go back to my monster. That's it. I can't do anything. Three, in terms of the legislative arm, it's reflected as, no, it's an accounting. We will get oversight from the Department of Women. Correct. But with what the member was saying, how do we action it? You ought to have a sphere or a place where you account to. So in this case, you're going to be accounting to different spheres. But in accounting to those different spheres, in terms of the national government, we have the Women's Committee, but we don't have a committee that strictly deals with the issues of GBV. How? Let's say, for instance, Minister, now we have 28,465 cases reported just in, I think, yesterday. Do we have a place where those cases went to in terms of the legislative arm? Did we call NPA to come and account on how many of those 28,000 plus women that have fallen victims? Do we have a place where we do a follow-up on each and every case? How many are going through the system in terms of prosecution? How many are being successfully prosecuted? How many that cannot be successfully prosecuted? What are the reasons? In fact, starting from the police, do we have a place where the police come and report this of gender-based violence if we are serious about it? Is there a place where in the NSP it says once a GBV case is reported, this is the process it should follow in order for the legislative arm, which exercises oversight over these people and these departments, it must be satisfied with the process that the process was followed until the end, the perpetrator was handed over to prosecution, ultimately to correctional services, and away from the victim. Three, the shelter. There is no linkage in this document of shelter. How do we keep our women safe? How do we keep children safe and empower them in order for them to stand alone, not fall victims of GBV simply because the men pay for their maintenance of children, the women, and everything. The document in itself is, for me, has lost touch with the reality. If we're talking economy of women, and that's what we want to achieve, one, we need to identify the areas where there's a lack. It's not a matter of 50-50. The issue is that no, departments must make sure that there's 51% of women or 50% of women employed everywhere and everything. That's not enough. If we want a certain percentage for people living with disabilities, but that's not enough. You can achieve that certain percentage, but achieve it at level, mere level 5 of the department. And then we don't get them when it comes to manage middle and senior management. We don't get them when we talk to entrepreneurship. We don't get them when we talk to owning mines. We don't get them when we talk to owning banks. So we ought to have a document that has leaves a reality. For me, the document is here, but it lacks correlation. It doesn't say anything about the actual issues. And then I want to check, Minister, what is your relationship with the gender desk of the president? Because right now we know the interim steering committee has a problem accounting to anyone. So this document and that committee, is it going to coexist? So what is that gender desk of the president going to do and take out, and when it implements this document? And where is it accounting to? Fourthly, Chair, the functioning of a desk.
Honorable Mente. Honorable Mente.
The last
yes,
one.
Yes, can we mind that, because we're still going to have plenary in the afternoon, please.
All right. Okay, Chair. That's the last one, Chair. The functioning of the desk where women must go and table their problems, whether economically, whether it's gender-based violence, whether it's a lack of attendance by court or anything, do we have a place where women must go and report? You mentioned something about the minister must be able to have a desktop which indicates to her that there is a hotspot here, there's a hotspot there, there's something happening. But where? How is that hotspot going to be coordinated? Do we have, are we talking to a one point where women will phone in and say, I'm being discriminated at work because I'm a woman. I applied for the same position and then I didn't get it. Thank you. Who is that now? Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, Honorable Chair, Honorable Chair.
Welcome back, Mr. Tambi. Want to speak? Why don't you?
Yes. Can I? And thank you, yes. Comrade Sylvia. Thank you, Honorable Deputy Chair of the NCOP. Colleagues, can I be allowed to speak without my video on? I've got some serious network challenges. We have a lockdown in our area. I should then start with this, Chairperson and colleagues. We all serve in various committees of parliament. What is happening in this caucus, I think we need to condemn it at all costs, because there are some of the colleagues that just come here to add on the quorum and start doing other things, disrupting this meeting. It can't be that time and again the chairperson will spend 2 hours calling some of us to order for disrupting the meeting. So that discipline, because it's when we don't take this caucus very serious. Yet we are women public representatives, and then we don't do these things what we are doing when we are in other committees of parliament. And then it disrupts because it's everybody's concern that you can't even concentrate. And then if it's all about that, we don't take these matters that affect our women seriously. I want to echo the sentiments of the other speakers that have spoken before me. And then also, we understand most of these matters, some of them are being attended to in this committee, the portfolio committee that is allocated this responsibility to do oversight over the department. Maybe let me start by welcoming the comments by the minister and the two presentations done by the DG and the other one by Sister S. But then, my issue where I stand from, like other colleagues have raised, to say 18 months post the declaration of the presidential summit against gender-based violence and femicide, I should then commend the department and you, Minister, in particular, to say out of those resolutions, I think there were 17, to be precise. The NSP was one of the resolutions that we need to develop a national strategic plan on gender-based violence and femicide within the next 6 months, and definitely that time period elapsed. That's why we are now considering it some 18 months later. But that calls for the NSP to be resolved, implemented, and monitored and evaluated on a regular basis. Listening to the presenter on the NSP, I hear he saying that the strategy is not yet funded. Then I start to have a problem, because then when is this the Treasury going to take matters that affect our women serious? Recall, the summit included all spheres of women, including the civil society. And then I think it should be a concern for all of us as public representatives, because these are the majority of the people that put us in power. The reason why we are all here, you know, the women are the majority voters in this country. Then I would like to propose the following. The others, I think, Honorable Mente touched on, to say then that this NSP, as it's presented to us, we can adopt it as a working document that is going to be updated on a regular basis based on the fact that we still have to update it to incorporate to the comments that the colleagues have said before me. But in that document, I think as the concerns were raised, I was listening, we need to then look at this issue of the Tutusela care centers, the sexual offenses court, and shelters that respond to the needs of these women. And when doing so, we need to also look at these other women that are living with disability and the other ones that form part of the LGBTQIA+. Then what one want to say is that out of this, because we are also attending committee meetings, we are sitting in various committees, can we make it our business as women MPs that the department we do oversight on then must come and report to us? Because part of the resolution of the summit was that there must be an interim structure that must be set. And then also government has to develop a multidisciplinary task team. Those departments that are sitting there, if then ourselves in the various committees that we sit in, we cause to start to tell this department to come and account to us on how far are they also contributing towards the implementation of the NSP. I think this will assist us a great deal. I've got also have a difficulty when I hear the presenter saying we don't have a definition of what is gender violence, and then we're dealing with the NSP. I should think out of research and everything, I think that can be done. quickly so that we and also remember the summit also called us to revisit and frustrate all outstanding laws and bills that relate to GBF and femicide, including the decriminalization of sex work. I think out of that is indeed can the question that comes, has the department identified all those outstanding laws and bills so that we start a process to make sure that out of those bills, I think then we'll find a proper definition of gender-based violence, because in fact, that's what the laws are made to also address the issues. The other issue, as you have observed now during this COVID-19 pandemic, I should think moving forward, Chairperson, we must ask the Minister of Police to come and report to this forum in relation to that people who are staying at home. What has been the cases that were reported of gender-based violence? Because the other issue, the reality that we faced, gender-based violence normally happens at home, where it's your loved ones that perpetuate it. And you know there's a lot of things that contribute to people not responding to this. Then with regard to the issue of a targeted social behavior change program, I think that's the matter we deal like as we respond to COVID. We all know that we'll defeat this pandemic if we change the way we live. So the same thing with matters of gender-based violence. That's why we want to say then, what has been the role of traditional leaders, the private sector, and the religious leaders, and any other interested role player in making sure that we deal with the issue of attitudes, behaviors, and practice that people do. So I should think all of us, we need to then rally behind this NSP. Yes, it's a work in progress. Let's then comment on it so that then we make it a living document. Once we do that, then we'll be responding to the concerns of the women in the country, and they will start to take us serious as their public representatives. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mthambi. Honorable Mkhalipi?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I am Chairperson. I won't speak for long because the two speakers have covered me a lot. And I will also take into cognizance the fact of the time. We still have a house. But I just want to raise just two issues, Chairperson, direct to the minister. If the minister can comment on what already has been raised here in terms of this national strategic plan that is not funded. So how are we going to manage to implement some of the things that are suggested here? The minister will remember very well that this is the outcry of this department, especially for the members of parliament, specifically for the department that is led by the minister that is underfunded. So as a result, they become useless in the eyes of those people who are always be subjected to the gender-based violence. So this ministry is very important, taking into consideration what is happening in South Africa now. On every day, we get statistics of people who are raped, who are killed, and so forth. And the people have hopes in parliament. If the department that is led by the minister is underfunded, so it means that there is no hope for South Africans. So I would like to hear from the minister, what is her view and how is the minister trying to address that issue that is very, 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 very important to her department with other colleagues. The second point is that I agree with Honorable Mthambi and the chairperson of the EFF who spoke before me to say that if pillar number one that is proposed here in this document is well and good, but the issue of implementation, the deputy minister of this portfolio committee will know. I always call her when I come across with such issues of gender-based violence that is happening on daily life. But the thing is, there is no implementing agency in terms of the department program. So therefore, if we are not going to be united, as Honorable Mthambi is putting it, if you are going to be united as women in parliament, we are going to be undermined forever. I agree with her completely to say that in our portfolio committees, wherever we get platforms, let us make sure we put women, before everything. For instance, there is a report that was produced or was tabled by the Gender Commission on the issue of women who was forced sterilized in 15 years ago. And that report was tabled around February 2020. Now is what? It's August. Just to say that no one is taking the issue of women very serious. No one is questioning that report. But why our women, especially poor women who are HIV positive, why they were forced to be sterilized? The parliament has done its work, but this report will go under the carpet. So I'm also appealing to all of us as women here, would let us fight for the women on the ground, because we are the last voice as women in parliament. And we must not become useless as well. While the country is faced with this challenge of gender-based violence, and us to go back to our communities, and people will ask us, what are you doing as a member of parliament? And we are also toothless. We are also useless, because there is no proper act that talks about how about the perpetrator not getting a bail. Because the issue here, I got raped today. Tomorrow, the one who have raped me is going to apply for the bail. So we are going to have that discussion about the perpetrator to get a bail. You forget about me who have been raped. And then that thing will delay until Jesus comes. So therefore, Chairperson, let me pause there. But those are the issues that also must reflect in this document if you want to have a way forward. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mente. And
Mkhalipi.
All honorable members.
Mkhalipi, Chairperson. Ngiyazi siyafana no Mente.
I'm sorry. Honorable Mkhalipi, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Before the department can respond to all the questions, Honorable Tshabalala also wanted to submit something to say we need to prioritize GBV centers, meaning that when the department responds, should also respond into that one. Thank you very much. We're having 8 speakers. Minister and your department, please respond to the questions. Thank you.
Well, Chairperson, I think I would want to ask for a permission from you. I know it's very late, that we give the officials a few minutes to just highlight the things that we should be knowing. But I'm excited because all the members who spoke here know exactly what we should be doing. Women are dying as we are doing the talking. Unfortunately, they're dying in more numbers while we're holding this document. I think let's read this NSP thoroughly, because the NSP, there's a part of it, the NSP, that says there should be a parliamentary oversight committee. But what I am fearing is, I really plead with you, Chair, that this committee does take place. Because the President has given us a permission or a go-ahead that every department must be showing how it responds tactically to the issues that you are raising. But colleagues, that which is at the center of all that we are fighting here is all that we know. It's called patriarchy, misogyny, and masculinity. We adopted in cabinet this NSP in March. They started the lockdown the same week. So we are accounting for work that should have happened in the 5 months of this lockdown. I am not saying in the lockdown nothing happened. Under the lockdown, the decision to say every department must now count as to financially, what do they do in contributing to this department that's supposed to do everything with nothing? What are they doing on their own? But it's not been easy with COVID-19. It's not made our life easy. It made things worse because the same perpetrators went back to where they shouldn't go. In fact, in June, we lost more than 35 women in 1 month, killed in their bedrooms while we're chasing the police that still needs to be trained. The stories I was hearing this weekend from the chairperson of the committee about the behavior of policemen in some police stations was mind-boggling. Our people, our male police, because of where we come from, they still need a lot of training so that we reduce before we eradicate. I want to eradicate like you do, Comrade Mutang and all those who spoke. Comrade Mkalipi, we need to eradicate, but before we do that, we need to, as we eradicate, we need to find a way to reduce, train our police. NPA must chase corrupt people, but must also be chasing and making sure that there are special courts, as you said, that take care of the needs of women. If there's a need to call a moral regeneration again in this country, let it be. But let's go back to the document that has been presented here. Mente, Honorable Mente, you were saying, I heard you mentioning things that mixed Arab, the emergency responses that President came up with before the adoption of the NSP. So when the NSP and the NSP entered, we had to close the Arab because we couldn't do both. Otherwise, we couldn't see progress. But nevertheless, there needs to be progress in making sure that out of the 6 departments that I referred to earlier, who form part of the IMC, and the fact that the civil society organizations say they still need more time, that we are not waiting. There are many volunteers who come, you can come tomorrow if you like, who work with us under the different pillars. So just to make sure that we are not waiting for Lamula, for example. We have 3 bills. I wish you could fast track those 3 bills, which would make our laws bite even further in favor of women. You mentioned something about cancer and women. I'm sorry, cancer and GBV. It is about, again, masculinity and patriarchy. But when women suffer cancer, some are doctors push them to remove their breasts. So if you don't have a breast, you're no longer the woman that was yesterday. So the husband can start behaving differently. That's what the Deputy Minister of Social Development was referring to. When I was once in Ambassador, I know that there are things called shelters and to develop centers. The shelters, you should also have shelters that are unknown to the would-be perpetrators. The safe houses we do not have in South Africa. So these are the things that we still have to do. Remember that these men were treating these women or us before COVID-19. When the lid is opened, it's going to be scary. It's going to be more painful. Because we do not have, talking about mental health, we actually do not have enough psychologists also to just help our women. But also somebody was asking, why do you need shelters for women when you can open, you know, sideways the prison centers and make the perpetrators go there? It is women who must tell and children and run around the country while the perpetrator occupies that which I worked for the rest of my life. So I think this has been very useful, but it's important that officials also answer specific questions. On outstanding laws, I say there are three that I know that are under review. That are in your hands. That are supposed to be debated. That were initiated since we came back when we realized COVID was going nowhere. We do a bit of work with the Dlamini Zuma and then go back and do some work on real IMC on what do we do with these outstanding laws. While all departments, all now, including the one which is painless, has an opportunity to rework our APPs. And so therefore, all prioritize gender-based violence and femicide. But COVID-19 has not made life easy. It has made things worse, just to warn you. But I think from Department of Health, we should already be asking for more social workers and psychologists to help us deal with the challenges that are going to come with this. I think this document of the NSP needs to be reread and maybe translated. I am going around radios because I realize that once a while an advertisement on television is not good enough. But television, radios talk to people in the languages they understand. So what that change for me? So that people should be able to own that which is supposed to protect them. Otherwise, it's going to be the same. I didn't mean to respond on behalf of the officials, but I thought it was important for me to just say just a few words before you chase us out. Officials, additions?
Yes, Minister, you have already referred to the three legislations that were amended as a result of the NSP. They were tabled in Parliament on the 13th of August. They were supposed to be discussed on the 25th, but the discussion was postponed as a result of the funeral of Honorable Hisham Mohammed. But also the unfunded mandate that is always referred to. It refers to the costing of the entire NSP. Minister has already secured 6 million for the next 3 years for the functioning or for the department to be able to implement all those that it has to implement in terms of the NSP. And different government departments, like for example, where it says 6 TCCs to be established, those departments, Justice has budgeted for those TCCs to be established. So I think that's where there needs clarity in terms of when we say unfunded, what do we exactly mean? But also I'll hand over to Ms. Shoki Shabalala and Ms. Esther Maluleke to respond to other questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and members of the Multi-Party Caucus and Minister. I will try and link some of the questions that were raised by Member Kalipi and Member Mende. And I want to echo the sentiments of the Minister that maybe we should find time again to thoroughly peruse the NSP. If I may indicate that the issue of shelters is clearly articulated in the NSP from page 4 of 4, page 30 of 31, page 53 actually talks about the establishment of extra shelters, as well as page 79, that has a matrix for implementation that talks about putting up shelters and interim houses that should be in place. So all of those things are gradually finding way into the APPs of the departments that are responsible in this instance. It is the Department of Social Development, supported by the Department of Women. As well as the issue that was raised by Member Mkhali, that we have an NSP that is not costed or was never costed even before. It was not possible to have an NSP to be costed until it was concluded, agreed upon, and endorsed. You then take that strategy, you cost it. But as an interim measure, we then said we cannot sit, fold our arms, and wait until the costing is concluded. We engaged departments to request them that they reprioritize within their existing baselines, as we were all reprioritizing now because of the COVID-19. We also urged them to say, align your annual performance plans and your five-year plans, because you still have time, to the National Strategic Plan. We have developed an MNEP, one that seeks to assist them to engage and accept targets that are feasible, implementable, that are smart, that they themselves will be able to resource. Of the 50% that have already responded are those that we have managed to take them through the helping process. We've agreed that we will reach out individually to those departments that are still struggling to provide that helping hand so that we walk this path with them. Another issue that was raised quickly related to the police stations, that there's no correlation, even with the men. If you look at everything else that has been mentioned, and I would like to make a practical example. The minister, the former minister of police, launched what we call a ministerial six-point plan on GBV. It is there. It illustrates clearly what needs to happen when you deal with a victim of crime, from the rights, the victim's rights, to what the police are expected to do. Kindly access the document so that we are all on the same page around what is happening in police stations, including the victim's charter, including the provision of victim support services through the victim empowerment rooms that are attached to the police stations. There's also another issue that said, how did we do the consultations? The consultations were not done during this period of COVID. Fortunately, we still had an opportunity to reach out to the respective provinces. We've been to all the 9 provinces. We spread our wings in partnership with civil society. We invited all sectors, from women with disabilities to older women. We listened to them. We factored their issues. So we did our level best. And those that could not be part of the one-on-one engagement had to access online processes where they made input via online, or where they would download the information. The very civil society organizations would reach out to their constituencies, get input, and send the input to the department. The good thing about the document, members, is that it's a document that is co-owned by government and civil society, co-crafted by both. And if we get it right, it is joy for all of us. If we don't get it right, we all take collective responsibility. We all go back to the drawing board. We look at what is it that needs to happen. Mama Winnie, you raised a question around sex workers. Sis Esther will respond to that one. But how do we make sure that departments have integrated? I've responded to that part as well. The costing, I can reassure members, is currently underway. We will even seek to get additional capacity from National Treasury to conclude the process speedily. But we did not leave a vacuum. We are continuously allowing for an ongoing reprioritization so that this process is closing the way we should. I think I've tried to respond to most of the issues. I will check if there's anything else that I'm leaving. On the district model, we've reached out to COCTA, a process led by the Director General, where we looked specifically on how we will translate
the gender responsive planning, budgeting, monitoring and evaluation framework at a district model, but how we will interface the issues of GBVF into the district model intervention. What we've also done, we do have a dashboard for all the ministers and deputy ministers as and when they are deployed, but we have shared a guideline to them to say, these are some of the things you will do when you are at a district level. For instance, visit a police station, check whether there's rape kits, check whether there are victim support rooms, everything is functional. So they are very clear on what is it that they should be looking for when they visit. So that it's not only at a district level, but we reach out to our traditional leaders, those men and women who are leading society in those rural communities, to be factored and be part of the process at the end of the day. The 18 months, it's a response that we got when we wanted them to conclude the process at that time. What we then did, we had a high-level costing, which high-level costing required that we drill it down and really take it to minute granular detail of the actual costing per department and per the indicators and the targets that we have set. Therefore, we will make sure that we don't take this 18 months as a request to the comment of the previous service provider, but we put hard, supported by National Treasury to make sure that over the MTF, this strategy is well resourced. But for now, there's an interim measure to take care of it at this point in time. Lastly, the issue of psychosocial support, the lack of psychosocial support, I wish to indicate that the Department of Social Development, even now during the lockdown period, COVID period, have authorized and approved the appointment of additional social workers. There was an acknowledgement that we've always been saying there's many social workers that are unemployed, but now that we have this opportunity for them to come in and deal with psychosocial issues and mental health issues, let us employ those social workers. They are on board, and we are elevating the issues of mental health in the Pillar 4 that is led by social development. During this month, we worked very closely with CSVR, the Center for the Study of Violence and Reconciliation, where we elevated the impact of mental health on women and on COVID, the dual pandemic, and where women should go when they need to access the services and how they should access the services. However, more can still be done, and we will further engage with the Department of Health to strengthen the area of work. But the Gender-Based Violence Command Center does provide some psychosocial support through the kind of counseling services that they're offering. I did say I'm concluding, but this very last one of concluding. When you go to, we've also developed what we call a pathway for referral. That pathway of referral matrix help service providers to know that if a victim have used the police station as their first port of call, what is it that they should do next and where to go. We have shared it with all the frontline officers, and we will continue to popularize it. We hope that this will improve the referral matrix, in addition to the fact that we do have one-stop centers that are already in place. For instance, in Gauteng, Yezikaya Letemba, where all these services are housed in one room. We hope that with time we will get more people to sponsor and have more of this. 7-11 sexual offenses courts have already been upgraded, and I do know that when I looked at this plan, we still are going to have 5 more Tutuzela centers that will be established just before the end of this financial year. So the issue of Tutuzela centers is at the epicenter of this work. I would pause for now, allow my colleague and the DG to come in, and also check whether there's anything I left out I could have responded to. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I just want to check from the department if there are other colleagues that want to add up, but also minding the time.
Yes, I just need to respond to 2 or 3 questions that were raised. Chair, it's Esther. The issue of the sex workers. When we were developing the strategy, we consulted, because this issue came very strongly, even during consultation as we were drafting the strategy. And we had to consult with the Department of Justice around this matter, because we know that they've been working on this matter for a number of for a period of time. And the response we got in terms of how we deal with it and incorporate it in the national strategy is that not all people who receive reward for sexual services identify as sex workers. It is also not a term recognized in the South African law or by the International Labour Organization. So the terminology that is used is different in the Sexual Offences Act. So what I'm saying is there are complexities in terms of how we define sex work that has not been finalized, and care should be taken. This is what they said to us. Care should be taken to differentiate between adults and children, as the receipt by children of reward for sexual services is considered sexual exploitation in terms of the Sexual Offences Act. The word molestation is not used in respect of a sexual offence, and then they say see Sexual Offences Act, they're referring us to. So there are issues of legalities around this, and we were also told, as we wanted to conclude and see how we deal with it in the NSP, that the sector that addresses this matter also have different ways of approaching it, and there's no synergy in terms of how they were proposing that we should deal with it in the NSP. So this was certainly taken on board because we know that it's a problem. But the proposal was that we should include it in the NSP.
Sorry, can I suppress you for a while? It's like we're behind time now. Why can't you write all the responses and direct them to the secretary, then we'll distribute to the members? Because we still have one item, and then we have to ready ourselves for plenary. I've also seen Honorable Dlamini Zuma's hands and Honorable Sonti.
Okay, it's fine. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you for understanding. Honorable Dlamini Zuma, Honorable Sonti, are you there?
Yes, Chairperson, I'm here.
Please be short.
Oh, thank you very much. Molo. Mamu Bilankul.
Molo, ma'am.
Yes. And this will chat kakhulu, nenzo chata nje kancane, and then I will go straight to Minister about this GBV. Singomama sikhulumile, kudala sikhuluma, siyakhala sisakhala, akukho nto eqhubekayo eluncedo ne. So into mna endiphezu kwayo yokokubana no, this is enough. The guillotine now must come to those perpetrators who kill our children, who kills our mothers, who kills, you know, it's we are sick and tired because akukho nto encedakala. Every day sivuka sikhala silila labantwana bethu ababulawayo, babulawa zisigilamkhuba ezithi ziye jele zibuye ekusasa ziphinde futhi zenze the same thing because yozibeke phambili. The guillotine must come back only. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Sonti. Honorable Dlamini Zuma, are you there? If she's not there, let me take Honorable Lucas to brief us on the program that will be unfolding tomorrow for Women's Parliament. Honorable Lucas.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am very much honored to be able to just quickly present feedback on the decision that we have taken the last time, that we must present the ideas and allow the secretary and the chairperson's office to discuss it and bring back a plan or a program for the Women's Parliament. since we are responsible for sectoral parliaments, myself and the deputy speaker, we actually went and developed an idea. The proposal that we wanted to bring at that stage is that let us not use the Women's Parliament once again to become a talk shop where we will speak about all the issues that we are experiencing, all the challenges. Let us bring the three arms of state together so that we begin to respond and actually present our plans with regards to what is it that has been done since particularly the pandemic of gender-based violence and femicide was being highlighted since our last Women's Parliament. Remember, there was different events that took place. There was a joint sitting. There were but different events in terms of what have taken place to make sure that we begin to address this pandemic that is really particularly focused at women and vulnerable groups. So we have a program that we have sent to the Secretariat that we will just quickly present, and the program is going to be particularly the high level session and the other sessions where from the side of government we will just have feedback with regards to what have we done with regards subsequent events that followed that address the issues of gender-based violence and femicide. So the program is right in front of us. We will have the opening remarks. Why we are taking the opening remarks, just to actually also give a little bit of a feedback as to what transpired after the first parliament, women's parliament, they've taken place. And after that, we will be having a pre-recorded message from our president. And after that, the Honorable Minister of Women in the Presidency, Women, Youth and People with Disabilities, will on behalf of the President give and exactly today actually set the tone for what we expect from the executive to bring feedback on, for people to see that we didn't go back and did nothing, and we are not coming back just once again to have a talk shop. We want the kind of response that is coming from the executive through Honorable Maite. And then the Speaker's office will also be bringing the issues from the legislative sector approach. And we will also have Justice CTM Kampepe that will, from the side of judiciary, bring some feedback with regards to what has happened on their side with regards to the issues of gender-based violence and femicide. And then we will have the provincial premiers as well as SALGA that will be giving us some responses as to what are they planning, what is happening, how are they addressing the issues within the provinces. Civil society will also have a bite, and we will also have the parties. I just want to upfront say to parties, please indicate, because the parties that you see in the program is the ones that indicate that they will be there. We will address the issue of time for each and every party. Chief Whip said there are 14 parties. Not all of them are going to speak. That's what they indicated. But please, can the parties indicate to our secretariat of the Multi-Party Women's Caucus as well as the Deputy Chairperson's office and the Deputy Speaker's office whether they will be sending representatives, because this is the final program, but we will accommodate the parties. Honorable Chairperson, I think the program is very clear. We will be having 64 people that will be allowed in the session inside Parliament. That is a hybrid session because of the fact that we are celebrating 64 years of the Women's March. And then also the majority of people will be virtually locked onto the platform. But we wish the women all the best for the Women's Parliament. And I want people to see that Women's Parliament is not an event. It is a project, it is a program that will be ongoing, and we will be focusing on the issues that is important for our women. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lucas, for briefing us about tomorrow's program. And thank you very much to the department and the minister for your presentation on all the answers that you gave to the honorable members. I also like to thank honorable members for your participation and contribution to this meeting.
hoping that whatever we're planning here as women, it will take us forward. And we can only achieve whatever we want if we are united and understand that this is not a political thing, but it needs each commitment of each of, it needs commitment of each of us. Thank you very much, honorable members. If there is nothing that maybe honorable members feel they need to raise for now, then we'll, our meeting will adjourn.
Thank you, Chairperson. Long live the
Chair. Long live the Chairperson, Bilankulu. Long live
the Chair.
Long live.